When I was a kid growing up in America, I'd often hear my mom yelling at my older brothers and their friends about what they're doing outside and hanging around girls for. And they'd say things like, "Hum poondi karne ja rahe." And my mom would kind of echo that message too. "Ennu nu sirf poondi karan da shauk hai. Eh baar sirf poondi karan jaande ne. Poondi karke aa gaye ho. Khasma nu khao." It was like one big joke and I didn't really understand it. Until later on, it took me a while to figure out what poondi means. The word comes from the Punjabi word poond, which means wasp. So poondi means to buzz around like a wasp, specifically around girls. In other words, flirting. When I got even older, I started noticing that poondi isn't even flirting oftentimes. Sir, koi ladkiyon ko ye taad ke bhi aa jaate hain, to usko poondi kehte hain. Bade shauk se. So just plain and simple looking and hanging around girls was called poondi, oftentimes. So I started thinking, why isn't it so simple in Desi culture to just go and talk to the girl that you like? The same brown guys might be very bold around white girls in terms of talking and asking them out on a date, but they realize the game isn't really played the same when dealing with Desi girls, at least not usually. So for many guys, why can't you just approach a Desi girl and ask her out? My understanding is it's considered shameless, basically, in our culture. If her brothers are around, for example, you might get your butt kicked. And if her mom is there, she'll probably curse you out for even starting a benign conversation. Parda and haya is a big part of our culture. And that's just for a guy approaching a girl. Now reverse that table for a bit and imagine a girl approaching a guy. And that's even more shameless. Unheard of oftentimes. So here's the reason that I'm ranting about this. How do people start searching for someone to marry in our culture? One reason that I believe cousin marriages are so high among Pakistanis is because many single people do not have much of a social network of the opposite sex outside of their family. In other words, if you're a Pakistani girl, odds are that the boys you interact with the most besides your dad and your brothers are your cousins. Now, before you shoot me for making generalizations, I know things are changing, I know. But change is slow. And let's get back to that question. How do people get married? How do people find others to get married with? Rishta aunties. That's another option. Nowadays, rishta matchmaking is a huge moneymaker. Some of these aunties in America are charging hundreds and thousands of dollars to connect their, quote, clients, end quote, with each other. Typically, these aunties collect people's pictures and profiles and share them across their network. There's Facebook and WhatsApp groups with thousands of users trying to get hitched through these aunties. But a lot of people are very uncomfortable with that, understandably so, right? For people who don't want to marry their cousins or use a nosy rishta auntie, what kind of options are there? There's only a few options left. In general, a lot of guys think, or at least I used to think that, there's a lot of Pakistani girls out there, and very rishta-fiable girls too. But how can I get to know them in such a restrictive environment? Meaning, you can't just barge into people's houses and start asking, "Aapki beti kaisi hai?" And vice versa, girls might think the same thing. Especially for those of us living in North America and Europe, the Pakistani diaspora is quite spread out, making it even more challenging to find other Pakistanis to pair with. So that's where this popular option comes in, matchmaking apps. Today we discuss stories around two of the most popular matchmaking apps used by Pakistanis, specifically Pakistani Muslims, called Minder and Muzmatch, with more focus on Muzmatch. Many of these apps and online matrimonial sites claim to have successfully paired and married tens of thousands of couples across the world. I personally know and have heard of many people who have met each other through these apps and gotten married, so I do know that they work. I have personally used these apps in the past when I was looking to get married, so I know that they work and they're effective at finding real and genuine people. It's true. However, as you'll find out later on throughout the stories in this episode, these apps can be a source of frustration as well. So our special guest today is Ikra. Ikra has used Muzmatch quite a bit and has her fair share of stories to tell, as well as words of caution. Ikra is 26 years old from Brampton, Canada.
Mainly people talk shit about Brampton a lot, so I thought maybe you'd know about it.
Now you mentioned that, yeah. Lots of Desis talk about it.
Yeah, it's not possible that you wouldn't know.
Yeah, Mississauga, I know a lot of people live there as well.
Yeah, Mississauga is like basically right beside Brampton.
Yeah, got it. Can you speak Urdu, by the way?
Yes, I can. Yeah, so I'm 26. I graduated a few years ago. Now I actually work for the federal government.
Well, what do you do for the government?
So I actually used to work for immigration, but I recently got a new job. So now I do something else, but still related to immigration. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it's still for the federal government. So that's actually how I got into listening to your podcast, because my commute is so long.
Really? How long is it?
My commute is about an hour and a half.
One way.
Yeah, Yeah, basically. And honestly, like an hour and a half when I'm coming home around 3. But in the morning, it's around 45 minutes. So I just needed something to do.
Oh, so it's traffic then.
Yeah. Makes it an hour and a half.
That's crazy, yeah, though. It's basically doubles with traffic, right?
Yeah, man, it's horrible.
Yeah, I've had my fair share of bad commutes. That's exactly how I discovered a podcast, too.
Yeah. Another really, really, really good podcast is Serial. I'm not sure if you've heard of it.
Yep, I've listened to it.
That's actually how I got into podcasts.
The Adnan Syed case?
Yeah, I love Adnan.
The podcast that Iram and I were discussing here is called Serial, and that's based on a Pakistani-American boy who has been convicted of murdering his girlfriend. And it's a very interesting podcast series, actually. I highly recommend listening to it. What do you think? Do you think he's innocent or he's guilty?
I think he's 101% innocent.
Really?
Yeah, I'm so sure of it.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth.
Yeah.
But my last conclusion was, I think he did it.
Really?
Like, the conclusion that I came to was like, man, this guy sounds super suspicious. He doesn't have answers to like half the questions.
Okay, you know why? It's because... Okay, so someone randomly asks you what you were doing 2 weeks ago, you wouldn't know on a specific date. Like, you know, if it's such a regular date.
Yeah, mujhe to kal ki roti ka nahi pata hota.
Yeah.
Kya kya khaya?
Yeah. So funny. So true.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I mean, that's why the case is so interesting, right? You don't know whether he did it or not. It's like the O.J. Simpson of Pakistani cases. Nobody will know.
It's so like, because it hits home, because, you know, he's like a Pakistani guy who was like born and raised in like, you know, America, and he has like a Korean girlfriend. And then like, it's so crazy because I'm sure all of us have had like some sort of secret, you know.
Yeah,
he was only 18 years old, and when you think about, or actually he was less than 18, I think it was 17. So if I picture myself being 17, I was such a dumbass. I'm still such a dumbass, but like,
yeah, I hear you. Yeah,
they're so immature, you don't know. Especially honestly, Pakistani guys for sure, they're extremely immature because they're so like their parents baby them, so.
Well, that's what we're gonna talk about.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So this is where we start the content of this conversation. Why did I invite Ikra to this conversation today? Ikra is one of the many girls who has tried using these online Muslim matchmaking apps. And after several months of frustration and ending up with the wrong type of people, she gave up and uninstalled. What she has kept, though, is the outrageous and hilarious stories that she's going to be telling us on this episode regarding these apps. And that can help serve as a manner of caution for those of you who are actually considering starting to use something like this to find your Muslim partner. Towards the end of this episode, I'll also share some personal tips based on my experience, because I was also in the search several years ago for a partner before I found my wife. But throughout the bulk of this episode, Ikra and I will be discussing her stories and kind of sharing some information about what can go wrong in these types of online interactions. There's stories of lying, there's stories of bad behavior, there's a lot that can go wrong. So this should particularly be interesting for those of you who are single and looking to mingle. And then one more thing before we get started. I mentioned how Ikra had actually given up after several months of frustration with these apps, and she is still single and hasn't really gotten much success using this. But I will give her the same advice that I will give most of you who are still single today, that you should not give up, because it took me about 2-3 years to find the right person for myself, who is now my wife today. It takes time. And there are a lot of bad people out in the world in general. These apps, to me, are nothing but tools, and they're useful tools to help find the right person. If you think about it, if you do not start a search, then you won't be anywhere in 2 years. Had I not started a search, had I not kept on going for those 2-3 years, I would have still been single, still been coming home, watching Netflix and going to sleep. And that's not where I wanted to be. And I'm sure that's not where most of you will want to be at a certain point. Most people want to get married eventually. And so, before your parents find somebody for you who might be completely incompatible, it might be a good idea to actually start a search. It's healthy, it's good, it's something that I recommend. Take more control of your lives, whether that's using an app or more critically considering the options that are given to you by your parents. Either way, if you're looking to get married, if you think you're ready, there's no better time than today to start your search. There's nothing wrong with these apps, but the purpose of this episode is to just give you some caution, give you some understanding of the type of people that you could meet. Because for all the good people out there, there's a lot of bad people out there as well. And that's all we want to highlight. So now that I'm done with my formal obligatory speech, Here's the beginning of our casual conversation around these apps. We start with talking about Minder and how people are using a lot of these apps nowadays. And then we start diving more into Ikra's experience. Now, Minder, as we know, Minder is basically modeled after Tinder.
Yeah, Muslim Tinder.
Yeah, exactly. It's just Muslim Tinder. You basically log in, and instead of like all these white people and non-Muslim people, you see more Muslim people, and you get to swipe right or left, right? Right means you like them. Left means you don't like them.
Yeah.
And if two people swipe right for each other, then it's a match, and then they can talk to each other. Is that how it still works, or have I grown too old?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's how it works. I was just gonna say, like, I don't currently use any of them, but I have in the past. So just like you, it was about around 2 years ago. I haven't been on it because I've had such bad experiences.
Yeah, so you gave up. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
You know how you said there's all these, so instead of for white people, it's for Muslim people. To tell you something funny. So I actually seen a lot of Indian Sikh guys on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Indian Sikh guys. Interesting.
Yeah.
And they're just looking for what? Like Muslim girls?
I guess so. I don't know. I've seen a few though. And I died. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah. That is kind of funny, yeah. Well, I mean, simultaneously there's a lot of Muslim guys and girls on regular sites too, like Tinder, you know, match.com, whatever. Like at a certain point they're just open to anything.
Exactly.
There's a lot of Pakistani guys I knew that back in the Bay Area. I used to live in San Francisco, and there were a lot of like Indian and Pakistani guys. And they were, I guess, at a point that they just didn't care. They just wanted somebody, you know. So they had an account on Tinder going and Minder going, and they're just right swiping everybody. I was like, yeah, to had dog, yeah, desperation ki.
That's actually how I feel like it is in general. Like I feel like most guys do that. I guess I can't generalize. Because I've heard some success stories, but I mean, are they really successful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The perception I have, I don't know if it's true or not, you can give me that perspective, is the guys are not so picky, at least when they're looking for a match. So again, they just right swipe everybody on every app that they know. But girls, obviously, they actually use the app for the intent, which is, you know, if they like somebody, then they swipe right. If they don't like somebody, they swipe left.
So they're on it for the right intentions, mainly. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I felt like I was on it for the right intentions, but not like any guy who I actually talked to, they weren't.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So everybody has different uses for it. Yeah, it's hard to make generalizations among the genders, but I have seen that as well myself. So oftentimes they have gender-specific problems too, which is, for example, the guys will often say, "Yaar, mujhe koi match milta hi nahi." Like, I can't find anybody who's interested in me. Yeah, and the girls will be like, "Hey, everybody's a match. Every guy's a match. I have like, you know, my inbox is full of 100 messages."
Yeah,
I don't know who to go to for, you know, first. how do we trim this list down?
I'd say that's partially true. Yeah, that's true. A lot of guys, like, they will like you, but they just like you because they want to get with you, but they're not really necessarily looking to get married. So.
Mm-hmm. So it's even more complicated for women because of that, right? Because first of all, you have a huge list. You have to narrow it down into people who are actually interested, and that's so hard to do.
Yeah, for sure.
By the way, when I started this morning, when I installed Muzmatch, this is a message I saw. Muzmatch makes you sign this. You know, not a sign. It's like accept their terms of agreement, any app. And it says, "Muzmatch is for anyone seeking a Muslim marriage. Keep things halal. You must adhere to sensible Islamic etiquette with regards to your behavior on Muzmatch. Not doing so will lead to a permanent ban from our service." So respectable, sensible Islamic etiquette, right? But yeah, I've heard stories from people that it's not exactly used for that. Like, guys will just, it starts with a few messages like, "Hi, how are you?" and all that stuff. Yeah. And then it doesn't take long before they start asking, you know, really provocative, really weird, obscene type of stuff.
Okay, so a few examples that I guess I can share with your experiences is that the very first time I ever used Muzmatch, I was like, okay, so I guess I grew up pretty sheltered. So my mom all my life was like, "Don't ever talk to any guys. Like, you're not allowed to have any guy friends. You're not allowed to talk to any guys." And then as soon as I turned like 25, But even before that, I've always had that pressure, right? But as soon as I turned 25, my mom was like, so do you have someone? And I'm like, what the heck? All my life you told me not to talk to anyone.
Yeah, right.
So my mom didn't tell me to go on this app or anything, but my sister suggested that I try it. My sister's older than me. So yeah. She actually encouraged me, and she helped me like build my bio as well. I thought that was sweet. So I I gave everything everything that I had to talk about or whatever. So the very first guy I ever talked to, the very first question he asked me, which I thought was extremely bizarre, was if I was a virgin. And I'm like, okay, well, firstly, that's so explicit for the very first.
Yeah, that's not an icebreaker.
Like, for sure, I understand. Okay, mate, it might be important to you or whatever, but come on, man. Like, I just know you for like tops a week.
Yeah.
How could you just ask me that? So I mean, like, if I am or like, okay, I feel like maybe if someone's listening, they'd be like, well, if she doesn't have anything to hide, like, why doesn't she just tell? Like, okay, but it's not that big of a deal.
I don't agree with the people who would assume that. That's not, it's just not the right way to approach the topic. It doesn't make sense. No. I mean, the first few weeks, I would say, are just getting to know each other without getting too free. Like, there's still boundaries, right? At every point, even like, you know, there are boundaries even very deep into a relationship, you know, there's always a certain line anywhere. And initially that line is much closer than you think. But yeah, that's such a weird, provocative question to ask. It doesn't make sense.
So I was like, block, delete, screw you.
Yeah, blocked. Yeah.
I was like, on to the next one.
And, you know, those same guys are probably like, there's nobody out there. Nobody's serious.
It's not something that's super important to me because firstly, I know, okay, so I'm 26, I'm older, you know, and the guy who I would be marrying would be my age or like possibly older. And I, like, it's not, you know, you come to a point in your life where these little, you end up thinking that's not that important anymore.
Yeah, right. If it might be important to some people, but you know, like you said, at a certain stage in your life, you have to be more mature.
Exactly. And you have to compromise just a little bit, you know, because you're not going to find the perfect guy ever.
And similarly, no, you won't find the perfect girl, honestly.
Yeah. Other than me, I'm the perfect girl.
Yeah, there you go. That's the other problem. People are insanely picky. There were guys that I knew. I mean, funny story. So I knew this Indian guy.
Tell me.
This Muslim Indian guy. He was 35 years old at that time.
What's a Chhattis?
Oh, 38, sorry. So he's probably like 40. So he was 35 at that time. But, you know, he's still not married. He's looking for somebody. I was like 25. So I was telling him, hey, man, like, honestly, I'm looking as well. But if I was your age, I would think about those rishtas that your parents are trying to bring to you. Like, his parents were actively, his parents were in India, and they were actively trying to find rishtas for him over there.
Oh, wow.
And he'd be like, no, I don't want to do that. And I'd be like, why don't you consider them? Maybe just take a look at the bio data, your bio data and the pictures and profiles or whatever, you know, like just to think about it.
Yeah.
You've been single a long time and you're, you know, he would be really sad and depressed all the time. Yeah. You know, I can't find anybody. I can't find anybody. And he started talking to me. I mean, it reminded me of like a Bollywood movie, the way he would talk. He had this like Mumbai style of talking. So he was like, it was like, you know, main se shaadi nahi karega, you know, mere ko pyar karne ka hai.
Oh, like
Munabai? Yeah, kind of like Munabai. Apun ko, apun log ko pehle pyar karne ka hai, phir shaadi karega. Like, so, hey, mamu, samujha tu?
He talking like that? He's your coworker?
No, he wasn't my coworker. He was just a friend.
Oh, okay.
He used to hang out a lot. No, no, he didn't talk like Munabai exactly, but he had that style. Yeah. Okay. Like, mere ko pehle pyar karne ka hai. And I was just like, dude, tere ko pyar karne ka hai? This is not the age for being picky.
Yeah.
You know, arranged marriages can work. I actually don't have anything against them. Honestly, they might be a good idea. And they don't have to be completely arranged nowadays. That's the misconception that people have. Yeah. Like, just because your parents introduce you to somebody doesn't mean it's arranged. You still can get to know them and you can still reserve the right to say yes and no. Or, you know, spend a few months getting to know each other, right?
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, it's just another channel of meeting people. And sometimes your parents have a pretty good network of candidates that they can find.
Yeah. For sure.
Parents are very well connected. So there were a lot of people around his age that I met through him as well. He had a lot of friends. Again, these were all single guys and girls.
Really?
Yeah, Muslims. And, you know, they just, I felt like in the Bay Area, there is, this is a huge problem with just a single late 30, like even 40 something people who are, well, they're single, but that would be okay too, but they're actually unhappy. Like they're unhappy.
Exactly. And it's exactly because when you are so focused in your career, you don't really go out that much. How are you really supposed to meet people? Mm-hmm. And this is why people turn to, you know, these apps.
These apps, yeah. I had the same problem. I mean, I would go to work. I was so focused on my career. As soon as I graduated college, I started working. And, you know, my life would just be, there was a job I was holding that was 60 hours a week on average. I'd just come home, watch Netflix, go to sleep.
Yeah. Actually, that's my life right now, so.
There you go. Yeah. Do you live with your parents?
Yes, I do. Parents and my siblings, everyone. And
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, yeah. Anyways, that was my first experience where that guy asked me that annoying mm-hmm. question. And then, so I actually was talking to this guy and I thought like we had a really good connection. Well, mm-hmm. I thought it was a good connection. So like we would talk all the time. And then like after 2 weeks, he asked me if we can meet up. Right. So, I was like, okay, because I kind of liked him at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were talking constantly, right? And so I met up with him. And when I met up with him, I don't know, you know, he just like, he did lean in to kiss me. And I'm just like, okay, well, you know, you know, like maybe his intentions are not like the best. So whatever. Yeah. And then like after that, we just stopped talking. After mm-hmm. that encounter, because I wouldn't like, you know, kiss him. I don't know. That was another experience that I've had.
This was a Desi guy?
Yeah, it was a Pakistani guy.
Right.
Yeah, it was a Pakistani guy. Hmm. And then, well, after that, it just ended. He sent me like a huge paragraph saying, oh, you know, I don't think like we're compatible, or, you know, I'm just like really busy in my life. And then I was just like, yeah. Okay. That's it. That's fine.
Yeah.
Good for
yeah.
you. Like, I'm busy yeah. too.
Right.
And then I was like, why would you, like, that's the thing. Why would you do that to someone and then just, like, you know, like, just, that was actually something that, like, happened to me that totally threw me off. And I'm like, you know, screw yeah. this. I don't want to talk to these people.
Well, the other thing is serious. When you say he's not serious, right?
Yeah.
Serious can be interpretive. Like you can change the definition of, well, what you define as serious might be different for every other person. Or masala ye ke we are basically brown Muslim people growing up in the West, from a Western standpoint of dating, right? You talk on an app for 2 weeks, you meet up for the first time. It's not unusual to have a kiss on the first date. I mean, it's not always a case, but it's not unusual for Americans, Canadians, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But if someone doesn't want to, you know, you can't really.
That's the thing. Like, you know, he should be more cautious about
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Actually, I'm very certain there's Muslim Pakistani girls out there who will date like that, who yeah. will be okay to do that on the very first date.
Yeah.
You know, there are. But, yeah. you know, he should be more cautious considering that we have that mixed background. And that's usually not the norm for us. That's not how things work.
Exactly. And then if you don't, well, there's another thing where someone will think you're a fob. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've talked about fob on the very, yeah, we talk about fob like every other episode. That's a big theme in our podcast. Like, but that doesn't mean you're a fob. I mean, there's people over here who are born and raised here and they still have those values just because that's how they yeah. were raised, you know?
Exactly. But I don't know. I felt like maybe he thought I was a fob. Okay, so yeah, actually a few guys that I did talk to, I was mm-hmm. talking to them, and like it was because you know how you text only, right? So you can't yeah. really tell if someone really is a fob or not. So then I was like, okay, this guy seems kind of cool. And then I exchanged my number with him, and then he asked me if he could call me, and I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So when I talked to him on the phone, I realized that he was a fob.
Oh,
he had an accent.
Oh, because of his accent. Oh, yeah. Is that a turn off?
There's nothing really wrong with the fob.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but like you know, you never know if someone has the right intentions. Because as yeah. I mentioned, I do work for immigration, so I.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I okay. So you're concerned about the whole visa people getting married for visas. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And oh my gosh, you know what? I actually heard so many stories, and one of my friends actually experienced this. So as I mentioned before, I work for immigration, so I always hear these crazy stories. This actually happened to one of my friends. So she got married to this guy. Her parents arranged it, but like they were not related, because you know, Pakistan people get married to their cousins or whatnot. So she got married. She brought him over. She got pregnant. And then as soon as he got his citizenship, he left her. And the crazy part is, I saw him on Movement.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Wait. Okay, so she got married to him.
Yeah, she got married.
And then he left her.
She got pregnant.
How long were they married?
I guess a year or 2 years max.
Wow.
It wasn't that long. Because, okay, when you get married, I'm not sure if you are aware of permanent residency. So as soon as you get married, you become a permanent resident. Mm-hmm. So you're basically a PR. And then you have to be in Canada for 2 years at least. To be eligible to become a citizen.
I see.
I'm not sure if it was citizenship that he got, but as soon as he, you know, got everything, he left her.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad. That's really sad. But yeah, that does happen. I mean, I've heard those stories. Yeah.
It's extremely common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's, of course, the guys offshore, like who don't even live in the U.S. or Canada, or, you know, they're actually based out of Pakistan and they're messaging you from there. That happens a lot, too, I've heard from girls.
On Facebook, yeah, but not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Facebook, yeah, right. The app that's not even meant for that type of contact.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Dude, yeah, our Facebook guys are famous for that.
You always have like random box sunny guys, or, well, other people too, but specifically box sunny guys, like from Pakistan, adding you, poking you, messaging you.
Yeah, so lots weird. Of Indian guys too. There's a whole section on Reddit dedicated to this called Indian People Facebook.
Yeah.
And it just has so many screenshots that girls and guys post from people on, like Indian people, and I guess Pakistani people too, on Facebook, who are messaging white girls and just messaging, you know, random people trying to become their friends and things like that. And yeah, it's so funny.
It is really funny. And something I noticed, so something similar to Craigslist in Canada is something with Kijiji. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of it.
No, sorry, what is it called?
It's called Kijiji. K-I-J-I-J-L.
Yes, I've heard of it, yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay, great. So yeah. There's people who post on there as well. They're like looking for friendship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's funny. Wait, you know, Craigslist has something like that too. Craigslist has, I forgot what it's called, personals or something, where you can post an ad kind of wanting to meet people. But that's mostly for like hookups, you know, like dirty intentions.
Yeah, that's for like old people. But yeah, Pakistani and Indian guys do it. I've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of desperation out there.
It's because like sometimes when you can sort from like your locations and see what ads are there, you see them. And I'm like, damn. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Now, when you say FOB, you know, when we talked about FOB, those are usually the real FOBs. Those are usually the guys who don't understand that, hey, you know, at Craigslist, that's probably not the best medium or Kijiji to find somebody. Or even Facebook. Like, you know, you can't use Facebook for that kind of stuff. It's just not normal.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. Okay, yeah. So relating it back to FOBs, so I would just be too scared, because there's no way I want to talk to someone who's like a student or like a worker or something, because I don't know if they have the right intentions, and I'm just, I don't know. I just wouldn't even want to risk it.
Yeah. No, yeah, of course. That's true.
Someone else wouldn't do that, but you know, I don't know. That's specifically why I don't want to get married in Pakistan. And also, I worked so hard, you know, with my career. Like, basically, I've worked really hard to be where I am today.
Yeah.
And I don't want to bring someone from
Pakistan
on and start from scratch, because I've worked way too hard.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. You could say there's less of a dilemma for guys over here to marry girls in Pakistan, because, I mean, let's face it, like, we are trying to become more and more equal between the genders, but we're still not there. It's still usually the guys who are bringing home the dough, and that's the that's the expectation, that the guy will continue working and the girl's going to get pregnant and have kids, and, you know, eventually she has to sit home, right? So that works out. But when you bring a guy from Pakistan to here, to Canada or the US, then you have to get them used to lifestyle over here, get them a license, you know, get them to speak English better, somehow they have to evaluate their degrees here too, and you know, get a job and all that stuff. It can take years and years to build up to that level.
Of course. It's such a rigorous process.
Not to mention the cultural difference. Like, I've actually, I mean, I've heard of a lot of these stories too. Girls who have to get married to a guy in Pakistan, you know, whatever, parental pressure or whatever. And then the parents get them married to that guy. And then the guy is just, you know, he wants her to be like a more homely type of wife. He doesn't want her to work or things like that. Like, I've heard of those stories too.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then there's the other stories, like the ones that you mentioned. They come here, they get the visa, then they're done. Like, they stay as long as it needs for a permanent residency. And then once they get that permanent residency, they're gone.
Yeah, they're like, peace out. Nice meeting you. I'll see you on Muzmatch.
Yeah, I'll see your friend on Muzmatch.
But he's not the only married guy I've seen on there.
Yeah.
One of my neighbor's sisters, I went to their wedding, so that's why I know how he looked. Hmm. I'm like, this guy looks familiar. And I kept looking at his profile, like his picture. I'm like, yeah, I know this guy. Mm-hmm. And I realized it was her husband. I didn't know what to do, but I didn't end up telling her.
I don't know if he was even trying to hide it. Honestly, maybe he didn't care.
Yeah.
But the Muslim world is really small. Like, in over here, you know, there's not that many Muslims as you think. No. Everybody knows everybody, like, to some extent, you know. You know somebody who knows somebody who probably knows another Muslim.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so it's very easy to find people that you know secondhand on those apps. And you're not the only person telling me that type of thing. But what makes this really bad is that he was married.
Yeah, it's crazy. He was married and he has a child. Like, he had a son.
Was he on that app while he was still with her, or was this after he left?
Oh, this is a different guy. This person is a different person.
Oh, it's a different guy. Sorry. Yeah. No, never mind. Different story. And just want to pause here and add my own two cents that I have also heard, not from any close friends, but I have heard by word of mouth that there are married people on these apps. I don't think it's that common. However, it's also not uncommon. So that's something to be cautious of. There are some married people on these apps who are on it for whatever reason, and most likely their spouses do not know about this. So my advice here would be cautious, do your homework, make sure that you learn more upfront about these potential matches as you can. And if it looks like that they're hiding information from you, they probably are. Going back to the apps, so you said your parents, they were not aware that you were on them? They were actively looking for somebody?
No, my parents, like my mom didn't know. Definitely not my dad, but I never told her.
I see. But she had kind of a suspicion, like, do you have somebody or something like that?
My mom? No, she would ask me, do you have someone? I'm like, no, I don't.
My mom asked my sister the same question.
Oh, yeah? Oh, how old is your sister?
She's about the same age as you, 25. Yeah, oh, she's 25.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, she doesn't want to get married. She doesn't want to find anybody right now, I guess. Yeah, she says she just wants to work for now and... My mom thinks like 25 is the end of the world. My mom's like, you know, buddhi kodi to ho gayi hai. Bacche nahi paida honge and all that stuff.
Oh my God. Yo, that one from 0 to 100. My mom says stuff like that to me too.
Being a girl would suck in a desi household. I would not do it. But yeah, my sister has to put up with a lot of that.
Oh man.
Yeah, like you said, it goes from 0 to 100. It's just more, you know, it starts from you should get married. Yeah. And then it's like, tere bacche nahi paida honge, buddhi ho gayi hai tu, and
damn, because you're 25 years old.
Like, you're basically gonna die next year. Yeah.
Right? My brother-in-law said something like that to me. He said, now that you're 25 plus. And I'm like, damn, 25 plus.
That's a category. Wait, these are the categories, right? 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 25, and then 25 plus. That's it. You're the same section as 60, 70 somethings now. Because life is just not happy after that.
For sure. But you know, like, I don't actually mind not getting, I kind of do want to get married, but I just can't find someone that I actually am compatible with.
I mean, it's good to not be in a rush, honestly. Like, you should not have to compromise, because that's the last thing you want to do. If you compromise and you just settle, you know, that's a long life. Like, you know, people are living longer and longer nowadays. So you got to spend like a good 60 years with this person, and you don't want that to be miserable.
No, for sure. For sure, man. You see your parents, like my parents, they're cousins. My mom always says, you know, I didn't know your dad before. Like, she said that her mom and dad, they just arranged it. Like, you're a liar. There's no way that you didn't know that you're going to get married to him and that you couldn't have said, know. So my mom's honestly, just like,
honestly, yeah. My mom's story is very similar to that.
Yeah.
They're not cousins. My mom and dad, they're not cousins, but my mom literally says she was like 18.
Yeah.
And she just came home one day and these people were over. And the next day she found out she was engaged. And to me, that sounds like crazy talk, you know? I look at my parents and I'm like, you're not that alien to me that I would think you would just say yes the next day. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But I think that was so normal back then. That's the only reason I believe it. I think the 50s and 60s back in Pakistan, like you just trusted your parents completely. Like, you know, that was true arranged marriages. Those are true arranged marriages where you just completely trust them. And my mom says she only had seen him, like not even a picture of him. She just saw him from a distance.
Your dad. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Like she just saw him from a distance and she didn't talk to him. She just kind of saw him walking by.
So crazy.
To me, it sounds like crazy talk, but you know, hey, they've been married for a long time.
Mashallah.
And six kids. Yeah. So.
Whoa. I didn't know you had six siblings or five siblings.
I'm the youngest of five brothers.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
And then, yeah, my sister is younger than me. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you have five brothers and one sister.
So you mentioned a few bad experiences already, but what made you really give up hope? Let's go down the list and kind of dissect this, right? You mentioned a lot of guys who are not serious. They're trying to do time pass or hookups or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So then that's the one big category. Mm-hmm. The second is the fobs who might be in it for the visa. So again, they're not serious. They don't actually like you as a person. They're just kind of interested in you as a Canadian citizen.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot to be worried of. What else is there? Oh, you mentioned married men. Yeah. So that's another one.
Oh my gosh. I forgot to tell you this. Like there's catfish on there as well. Yeah, I was talking to this other guy and he told me that he's, so at the time I was 25, so he told me that he's 25 as well. And normally if a guy was like the same age as me, I'd be like, I don't know, he could be younger, right? Because you know, if you're born like in the beginning of the year versus like the end.
So you prefer an older man,
I guess. Sure.
yeah No, I mean it's a fair preference. Nothing wrong with that.
So I normally would just like say no, but I was like, okay, whatever, he's the same age as me. So then I came to know because we exchanged numbers and I, you know how sometimes when you call someone it goes directly to their voicemail?
Yes. Yeah
So I went directly to his voicemail and it said some next name. So he told me his name was Ali. His name was Ali, but his name was actually Hamad.
You think maybe it was just as simple as a first name, middle name type of thing?
No, it was something else.
Weird.
Like it was a totally different name. And then he was actually younger as well. He was like 22.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was younger than me. And I was just like, because he was 22 in real life. And that was such a turnoff because why the hell are you lying?
Was he lying about his age?
Yeah. Well, he told me he was 25, but then I came to realize that he's actually 22. Eventually, he told me. And I was like, what the hell? What are you doing? Like, why are you wasting my time?
I don't see. Yeah, I don't see what the point is of doing that. If you set the contact off on a lie and later on you plan to reveal it, like, oh, what's the idea there? Like, she's going to start liking me and then she'll forgive me for the lie and we'll just walk off into the sunset.
He was like, if I lied, if I told you what my real age was, then you wouldn't have talked to me. Like, damn right. I want to talk to you.
Damn right. It's true. And that's why you should not have wasted my time.
Exactly. There's a lot of people. Yeah. They just want to waste your time.
Mm-hmm. You know, another common type of lying, you might have seen this, I don't know.
Yeah.
Height.
Oh, yeah.
I've been told that a lot of guys lie about their height. Now, this is kind of a sensitive topic for me because I'm a short dude.
And
I've never, so I'm not like a half man, but I'm not a dwarf, but I'm not like, you know, I guess the ideal height, whatever for men. But I've never, ever, ever lied about my height. And I just don't see the point of lying. Like I was, this one girl was telling me on Instagram, actually, she didn't want to come on the podcast, but she said this guy clearly lied about his height. And I'm not just talking like 1-2 inches, like he talked like 4 or 5 inches higher, taller about himself. And then I guess you met up in person with him and he was clearly not that tall. And she was like, where did you expect this to go from here? It just doesn't.
That's extremely common. I'd say that's extremely common because guys think that. So, like, there's a big difference if you're lying that you're 5'7", actually, and you say that you're 6 feet.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it's not 5'6" and 5'7". It's more like, 5'6" to 6 feet. That's a huge difference. You can't lie and get away with that.
And especially if a girl is tall, right? No girl wants to be with a guy who's shorter.
Yeah, right. And some girls, like, there's like 5'2" girls. This was always a gripe of mine. 5'2" girls that still wanted a 6 foot plus man or 6'4" or whatever, you know. And I'd be like, again, going back to realistic expectations.
Were you like, apni shakal dekhiye?
Apni haat dekhiye? Ek baar meri ladki se baat hui. To kehti hai.
Oh my gosh, I'm so curious. Tell me.
She's like aram se baat ho rahi hai. Nothing happened, right? I could tell. Uh-huh. I could sense a little bit of attitude.
Okay.
And it was just like the first day of talking, so I was like, oh, whatever, you know, let's see, let's analyze this a bit more. So I sensed that attitude, and then maybe she asked me, like, how big is your family? And I think I said, well, my, you know, I have four brothers and one sister, right? Immediately she said, you know what, I'm not gonna cook or clean or do any of that stuff. I'm not that type of girl, so I don't think we are a match.
What
I was like, what?
Heck?
What?
Yeah.
What?
That's horrible.
Yeah, anyway, we didn't talk after that.
Well, you know what? You should say alhamdulillah, because someone like that, that's so judgmental.
Yeah. I mean, it was the first day of talking. So she didn't ask, like, do we live together? Because we don't. Everybody, all my brothers are married, mashallah, so they all have their own houses. So there's not, like, it's not like that typical, you know, I guess you could say Punjabi family. Everybody's living in one house, 20 people, and their kids running around, TVs blasting, and, you know, bhangra everywhere. It's not like that. So I don't know what she was thinking, but she just kind of, again, she accelerated from 0 to 100 right away.
That girl is so judgmental. Oh my God. No, but you know, there's a lot of girls who are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard stories from people where they're like, okay, if the guy lives with his family, then the answer is no. Like they don't even want to talk to the guy because the girl wants to live separately from like their in-laws, whatever.
Yeah, right.
But I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah, like every person has their own kind of, I guess, flexibility on that.
Yeah.
I think it's not a terrible like request that you should want to live separately.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's not a bad thing. However, I do think that there should be some flexibility. Like there are, the fact of the matter is, you know, we talk about, it can be a sensitive subject for our parents who are aging now, right?
Yeah.
Like my dad is in his 80s now. My mom is significantly younger than my dad.
My parents are retired as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So your parents, you're around the same age as myself. So we have to start thinking about our aging parents and the fact that they can't work forever, or, you know, they're not going to work, or eventually they're going to need help, assistance, living. And it's not normal for us to send our parents to elderly homes or, you know, retirement homes whatever, you know, hospitals or, you know, whatever. Like we basically keep them with us for a lifetime. It's just not normal in brown culture to do that. So that's something that I think a guy and a girl should sort out early on.
Early on, for sure, yeah.
Or at least be flexible on that type of stuff. Maybe the girl's parents will need help at some point, right?
Oh, if the girl's parents need help, then that factor is never considered.
I know, yeah. That's not talked about enough. Because there are houses where it's only girls, like it's only daughters. They don't have a son. So they don't have a son to take care of them. So then what? Yeah. What do you do?
Or if you have waste brothers.
What's that? Waste brothers?
If your brothers are waste.
Like losers? Yeah, I see. Interesting.
That's so common.
Yeah.
It's more common where girls will want to help their parents than guys, in my experience.
Yeah. I've seen that happen too. I actually, over here, it's pretty common. I've seen a lot of Pakistani guys over here in the States.
Oh, in the States.
Not my friends, you know, just people I hear about from my mom. Because again, like I was talking, like just saying, you know, our parents have huge networks. So my mom knows what's going on among Pakistanis, like within a 25-mile radius of us. So she knows all the stories. And yeah, she talks about a lot of Pakistani guys who just kind of, you know, stop talking to their parents after they got married or some fight breaks out. And then, you know, like, yeah, they just...
I've never heard that, but that's so sad. Like your parents, you know, they took care of you, they raised you, they made you into the person that you are today. Like for sure, my parents supported me 100%. However, I can't say that they were not fair to me. Like, because my brother, he's a year younger than me. So my parents definitely did not treat us equally, but for sure, I'd say that they helped him more, but in the end, like, he doesn't even, like, care about them.
Oh, this is so important to discuss. Like, this is so important to me. Yeah. Because I'm like, honestly, to me, everything on Facebook and Instagram sounds like a cliche because yeah. everybody seems like they love their parents and everything. But in reality, nobody's parents are actually perfect. I actually believe that. Like, I'll be the first to say, honestly, my parents made a lot of mistakes that I hope not to make as a parent myself.
Of course.
Like, you're absolutely right. Like, my mom kind of has double standards as well for my sister.
Yeah.
Like, the way she raised her versus she raised us. So there's some double standards there. There's a lot of biases in there. The way that they raised us and everything. They made a lot of mistakes. However, that doesn't mean you just kind of cut the cord or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, you cut them.
Like you just cut them off and that's it. Yeah, exactly. How often do you go to Pakistan?
Oh, man. Okay, so I went to Pakistan 2 years ago, but before that was 10 years. And I have a crazy story. I'm not sure if you want to hear it.
I mean, sure. This is all about stories.
Yeah. So basically what happened, this is like my favorite story to tell. So basically, my mom went to Pakistan and I wanted to go as well because I hadn't been for 10 years, right?
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't able to go at the same time as my mom. Because she already booked the flight and she went, but I wasn't able to get any time off. So finally, I got time off and then I just booked my flight and I ended up going to Pakistan. But it was my first time traveling by myself. And I previously mentioned this, that I'm like super sheltered. So my parents don't even let me go down the street, okay? And I went all the way to Pakistan by myself. So as I went into the plane, right, it was really empty. It wasn't so full. So I got a seat near the like very end. So I sat at my seat and I'm like, yes, I'm by myself. Like, you know, I can chill. Yeah. And then it was a row with three seats. So I'm sitting there and some guy comes. So I had to like, you know, describe him. So if you watch Tere Naam, you know Salman, he has like his hair parted in the middle.
Salman Khan and Tere Naam. The weird, awkward phase in Salman's life, yeah.
Yeah. So his hair was like that. And he was wearing like dad jeans with like a dress shirt that's like tucked in. And he was wearing New Balance shoes. That to like set the scene up.
Man, so you really scoped this guy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because you don't even know what happens next. So he's sitting next to me and then he's like on the phone and he's talking on the phone and then he, yaar jo ladki mere saath baithi hai bahut achhi hai, meri company hai bahut achhi hai. And I'm like, I'm sitting there.
He just thinks you don't know Urdu or something?
No, I'm pretty sure he knew that I understood because I'm going.
Was that like a pickup line?
God knows. You know what flight this was? It was PIA.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what I assumed. You didn't even have to tell me that.
Exactly. So I'm sitting there and then we look at each other and then like he's speaking Punjabi because I'm also Punjabi, but he doesn't. Mm-hmm. The kind of Punjabi my parents speak, it's pretty normal. It's normal. Like, I hear other people speaking Punjabi. I can understand it. But the kind of Punjabi he was speaking was, like, Kate Punjabi. Like,
yeah.
Like, right. God knows what he was saying. All I understood were swear words. So he was swearing on the phone to his friend. And then he got off the phone. And then he's like, he starts talking to me. And he's like, aapka naam kya hai?
So wait, okay, so rewind a little bit. But he said, ye ladki bahut achhi hai mere saath wali. Was that in Punjabi too?
No, he said in Urdu. He's like, "Ye ladki bahut achhi hai, meri company bahut achhi hai."
So he definitely wanted you to hear that part.
Yeah. Oh, possibly. Oh, I've never thought about that.
I mean, yeah, just kind of putting it together. He said that part in Urdu and the rest was all tailed Punjabi with swearing and everything. And then, so anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so he's like, "Aapka naam kya?" And then I tell him my name. And then he's like, "Aap kahan ja rahe ho?" And then I was like, "I'm going to Lahore." Because the flight was in Lahore, right? And then he starts asking me what band I'm from.
Band?
And then basically I realized this guy's a weirdo.
Does it have to be a band?
I guess so. Like, I realize this guy's really weird. So I'm sitting at the window seat, and the seat in between us is empty. So I'm getting up. Oh, no, sorry. Rewind. So I'm sitting there, and he goes, Allah kare hamare darmiyan koi na aake baithe.
That is weird. That's awkward, honestly. Wait, was this happening like before the plane even took off?
Yeah, it happened before the plane even took off. So then there's no one sitting
That would have been one long flight. For a sure. very long flight.
No, honestly, it was crazy. So I realized this guy was a freaking psycho. So I got up and he's like, "Aap kahan ja rahe ho?" He's like, where are you going? And then like I have to tell him where the hell I'm going. Right? I'm his wife or something. Right. And whatever. I was really upset because that guy made me feel so uncomfortable and I was so scared I'd have to sit with him like the whole time.
Yeah. How old were you back then?
I was 22.
22, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So then I talked to the air hostess and I told her the situation, like, you know, I feel really uncomfortable and this guy's like making me like feel weird or whatever. So then she's like, okay, you can change your seat. So I left my handbag at the top, but I took like my belongings with me, right? So then I had to go back to get my stuff. So then the air hostess is like, so he's like, tumne apni seat badli? And I was like, yeah. And then he goes, tumne bahut acha kiya, because the guy over there, the guy that you're sitting with, he said that you stole his passport. And then he's like, that guy was dumb. His passport was on the floor. And he was trying to blame me.
I thought maybe not even that. Maybe I thought maybe he still had his passport. He's just trying to frame you for no reason.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't know. Have you seen the movie Taken?
Yes, I love that movie.
Yeah, so like that, you know, like you just meet a random, well, this guy wasn't very good at being nice, honestly, but you know, see a random nice guy and then he has an accent or something. You know, taxis here are very damn expensive. You want to share? And then they take you somewhere and then they rat you out to somebody.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. But you know, he had a Pakistani passport, so I have no clue why the heck he thinks I was going to steal his Pakistani passport.
It was my powerboat, a green passport.
True. True. I have a Pakistani passport too, though.
Yeah, so you have a dual passport? Yeah.
That's nice.
But that was funny. Why would I steal his passport?
I'd love to tell people the story.
No, it's good. That is pretty funny. I don't know. Like, I feel like every girl has had this type of experience.
Yeah.
As a guy, I haven't had this happen to me, obviously. we don't get approached as often by creepy women. So
you know what? I don't either, because I feel like I have resting bitch face. No one ever talks to me. That guy probably just had guts, or like he just thought that I was alone and talking to me. And no one ever approaches me. I never make eye contact with anyone.
Okay, so I wanted to close this episode with some advice for myself based on my experience in the past of how you can get closer to finding the right person on these apps and stay away from the bad people. This is not a comprehensive list. I'm sure I've missed some stuff, but there's some big pointers here that I wanted to call out for sure. Number one, do not give out personal information right away. That's actually a no-brainer, but a lot of people do make this mistake. Meaning, don't give out your phone number right away or within the first few days of talking. People often make that mistake and then later figure out that the person was not right for them, but then you've given away your phone number already, and there's no going away from that unless you change your phone number. Number two, if you arrange to meet in person, meet in a public place, never in a private place like a house or an apartment. Meet in a coffee shop, a restaurant, somewhere public, a mall, for example, that's safe and has a lot of people around. Number three, and this one is absolutely important if you're really serious about finding a rishta. Try to ensure that the other person's parents are aware and that your parents are aware that you're using these apps. I found that personally people who use these apps with their parents' knowledge and they tell their parents about who they're talking to and who they're interested in are usually the most legitimate and have the most pure intentions. That's for both guys and girls. So this one's really important for those of you who are serious. Oftentimes when a guy or girl involves their parents in the search, they're more serious and not looking to pass the time. Number four, and this is my last one. Ask questions to measure the person's personality and character early on. For example, do they get angry quickly? Do they try to hide details in their answers? These are some warnings to look out for. If you're a girl, for example, good questions to ask could be, are you okay with me working? Are you okay with splitting the housework? do you like cooking? If you're a guy, there's a lot of good questions to ask. And for some reason, I'm not able to think of many, but a good one could be, do you enjoy spending time with family? And secondly, how gold is your roti? Just kidding. Other questions to ask are, in general, how many kids do you want to have in the future? How religious are you? Or how many times do you pray? These are some types of questions that are great ways to test your compatibility with this person and get to know them much better. A lot of conversations can go on forever, but have little productive value in them. Make sure your conversations are productive and get these answers as quickly as possible. And if you don't get these answers in the way that you like, block, remove, unmatch, and move on. That's what I would recommend. Happy searching and good luck. Thanks, Ikra.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Sophie.
All right, take care. Bye.
You as well. Bye.